Good morning. Today we want to begin with prayer, and for certainly for the message, but also for two other things. First, we want to lift up what happened to our city nearby a few days ago. We want to lift it up to the Lord. We want to ask God to do an awesome things in healing, in ministering through a really horrific situation down in the school down there. And the other thing is, today is the International Day of Prayer, and we want to lift up, along with brothers and sisters and churches all across this world, and ask God to do some awesome things in ministry. So if you join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we come as a city and even as a nation, Lord, downcast because of what happened in that school. And it's close to us in Houston. Lord God, we don't understand everything, but we know that the answer is the same. You are an awesome God. Your gospel to save people is still there. And Lord, we want to pray today that your presence would be so close to that community, certainly the families that lost their children, that you will minister in their lives. Oh Lord God, we pray that your grace, the power that comes from you, would just overwhelm these families, that your presence will be so much felt. And Lord God, going forward, Lord, we ask that you would do something awesome because of it. And Father, we pray for that. We don't know what that would be. We don't know all that is there, but we thank you for the wonderful people throughout the city, the leaders that have been so godly and been so comforting in so many ways. But we want to lift that situation up to you. Would you penetrate our souls so that we may feel that we would hurt with them. Father, today as well, it is the International Day of Prayer. And we want to pray with our brothers and sisters and churches all around this world. We want to pray, Lord God, that you will raise up people that will be passionate for the gospel message. Lord, that people would come to know you, that they would hear about you in every circumstance, whether in a rich and populous country like ours, or like Japan and places like that, or in a poverty-stricken place like Sri Lanka, places where they have very little. Wherever that may be, Lord God, we pray that you will raise up people that will be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the love of God to them, and churches will be planted and people will give their lives to you. We pray over that. We realize it's a simple prayer, but nevertheless, as we do that across this world, we ask that you will move accordingly. And Lord God, today, we are touching an area in the scriptures that is really powerful and yet very hard. I pray that you'll minister through your word, Father, that everything said and spoken will be from you, that it is not an opinion of a man, but that it will be from your word. Pray that you minister in that way. Thank you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I think there were a lot of things said and done and articles written concerning what happened down there in Southeast Houston. One of the best articles, if you get a chance to, I would encourage you to find it, is from Max Licato. He wrote an op-ed piece, and he talked about the Texas school shooting. And in it, he said a lot of good things, really godly. But he called attention to a verse that I'm not that familiar with, but you might want to look at that sometime. And it's from Psalm 7:11. So Psalm, it says this: God is a just God, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Huh? Wow. You know, we don't want to look at God like that, do we? Certainly not this world. If they don't believe in God, they don't even want to believe in God. But if they do believe in God, they want to believe in God as a God of love. And we know he is. But to think of God as being angry every single day with the wicked. That's what the scripture says. Not my words, Psalm 7, verse 11. And there are many other places that will bolster that and basically support it. But that's the scriptures. Well, I guess when you think about it, we love to think that our nation is blessed by God and God loves our nation. Really? Our God is a God of love, but our God is also a righteous God. There is no righteousness unless there's justice. If there's evil done and there's no consequences, what kind of righteousness is that? So we think of our God as a righteous God and a God who dishes out judgment. This is God. Say, Pastor Dan, no one's going to come to church if you preach like that. Well, I want to tell you, I'm preaching through Romans, okay? And Romans is an awesome letter. It is a letter about God's love. It is a letter about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what? There is no need for love if there is not some hatred out there. There's no need for the good news if there's not bad news out there. And so the Apostle Paul begins Romans before he gets into the salvation part of things, the love of God, and all these good stuff that we talk about. He talks about the bad news first. And in verse chapter 1, he talks about it. In fact, this week and next week, I'm going to guess that people are not going to like me a whole lot. I just hope that you realize that I'm preaching through the Word of God. So if you don't like what is being said, unless it is not from the Word of God, you have no issue with me. You just have issues with the Word of God. God is angry with the wicked every single day. Wow. The wrath of God is being revealed. The wrath of God. That phrase, the wrath of God, all right, is being revealed. It's very interesting. The word wrath is talking about anger of God. And the phrase being revealed, that phrase is not just like, well, he's showing it to you. No, it is happening right now. That's what it means. That phrase, the wrath of God. The wrath of God is being happening right now. It's already done. It's just justice being experienced right now. So when we go on later, and next week particularly, when we see the consequences, the wrath of God being shown in a certain way, we got to realize this is happening right now. It is not just the wrath of God that's going to happen in eternity, where those who are wicked is going to go to the lake of fire. Many people don't want to believe that either. And it's not just the wrath of God, some consequences, because you did something, boom, you know, your life is destroyed. No, no. God, the wrath of God is being revealed. It is happening in a country like America, certainly in a country like Rome back then, with so much wickedness. Do you not think that the wrath of God is being revealed, that it's happening? Sometimes you think, oh, it's stored up for later. No. The wrath of God is right now happening. And so you say, wait a minute, why is God doing that then? Is this a consequence of the wrath of God, these shooting in high schools? It sure seems like part of it. All these other things that happen, all kinds of stuff, is that part of the wrath of God? It's God demonstrating and putting forth and shooting out his wrath to our nation. Sometimes I think about it, like, who do we think we are that we would not experience the wrath of God when we murder a million babies every single year? When we not only promote, not only agree with or, you know, keep up, but we promote a lifestyle that God sent fire and hailstone to destroy in Sodom and Gomorrah. Who do we think we are that we would have the blessings of God and not the wrath of God? I mean, there are other countries in the world that have done things like that and they experienced the wrath of God. The wrath of God is happening right now. And the wrath of God is just. It is something that is just and fair because, and today I want to share with you a few thoughts here. Again, they're all in the Word of God. They're all in these verses, so you want to look at it. It begins by saying the wrath of God is being revealed because man suppressed God's revelation. You know, it's interesting that we have the Bibles everywhere. There are millions and millions of Bibles everywhere. How many Bibles do you have in your house? I know I have a ton of them just in my office. And if we want to, we can go on our iPhone, we can Google it, we can go to Bible Gateway, which I use all the time, and you can get every version there is to look at. In fact, I was looking at this week because I try to discover the Greek words and get a little better, you know, understanding of what God is saying. And I found out there is a 4 or 5 different Greek translation just in Bible Gateway. And I'm doing that. I'm translating Google Translation, do my lexicon and so forth. It's all there. But nevertheless, even though we have the Word of God in so many ways, we suppress God's Word. We don't want to know it. How many of you are studying the Word of God every single day? I mean, really diligent in it, memorizing it. I was just in communication with somebody, and he's saying that the whole church is memorizing right now, trying to memorize 1 Corinthians 13. That's really great. The whole church together is trying to memorize that whole chapter. I remember when I was young, I used to memorize as a contest, actually. It's something that we did in the church. We will memorize verses after verses with paragraphs so that we can know the Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean that just because you memorize the words that it's gotten to your heart, but I want to tell you it's a beginning. It's a beginning. So the Apostle Paul is saying here, man is experiencing God's wrath because they have been suppressing God's revelation. And he says it in two ways, and if you want to know what it is, first of all, it's general revelation. He says, whatever is about God, everybody knows. Everybody knows. God is known to everybody. That's why all over the world, doesn't matter where it is, they might not know the specific God, but there's a sense of God in their lives, and so they want to worship something. It's interesting how God created the universe. There's so many things about it. I was in Seattle one day. And in Seattle, you know, that's where the salmons go up the streams and everything. And so I was in this particular thing. I was just, you know, as a tourist. And they had these locks where they put the ships, you know. They go up these channels and all. And it just happens to be where the salmons will swim up. And so, of course, they can't do that. They can't destroy something that's natural, not in Seattle, right? And so they put on the side of these locks where boats would go up, the locks would be little kind of streams where the salmons can go up. They allow the salmons to keep jumping. It's really interesting to stand there and watch them do it. Now, unfortunately, as they did that, they didn't realize that there was another creature on Earth. It's called these otters or whatever they are, some seals. I think it's otters. And they love eating salmons. And so they're like, perfect. You guys designed a perfect buffet for us. So they will gather around there waiting for the salmon to come, right? That's a great place to catch salmon. I didn't like that. So they started designing these fences and gates and meshes all over the place to stop the otters from coming to the salmon. It's interesting. But think about it with me for a second. Here's a salmon. It's a little tiny egg. It grows up a little baby, goes down the stream, and then it grows up to be this gigantic salmon. It swims all over the oceans, maybe even the world. I'm not sure where it goes. It goes to a lot of places. And then at a moment, they realize, oh, we got to go back up there. We got to get back up to Seattle. We got to go back up to the stream. We got to go back up there so that we can spawn. You see, they knew. Just like them. Because man is made in the image of God, what they call the imago Dei, the image of God, there is a sense of God in us. And so even though a lot of people didn't have the Bible, they had a sense of God. And that's what the scripture is talking about. When you tell people, you know what? All people know there is a God. And this, the scripture states it very clearly. But it's not only general revelation. It's not just the skies out there and the universe. And we look at all those things and say there must be a God, even though some scientists will tell us otherwise. There's also a specific word, especially now, where the Bible has been translated into all these languages and where we can understand it. But we want to suppress the Word of God. We want to suppress the things of God. So we did everything to stop it. And if you want to define what is sin, that is a good phrase for it. The suppression of truth is sin. And so we go out of our way to put it down. We go out of our way to say, you know, the Christian faith or the Bible is garbage. Is this a literary piece of nothing? And so on and so forth. We suppress God's revelation. And so why is God's wrath just? First of all, because we suppress God's revelation. He's told us all these things. We can know God. We can know everything about God, especially those who have the Bible in their hands. We can know these things, but yet we suppress it. How many hours a day do people watch television? Oh, many hours. I'm not exactly sure. How many minutes do people read the scriptures? Very few. Even as Christians, The second thing, God's wrath is just because man refused to honor God. This picture here is a restaurant. I used to be part of a denomination, and it's a small denomination. This was their first church. It's called Tabernacle. Dr. A.B. Simpson, if you read his stuff, great man of faith, started a great missions movement. He was here ministering. It sent out hundreds and hundreds of people onto the mission field, established so many outposts out there, particularly in Vietnam, China, Africa. Well, now it's basically a restaurant bar. I know, you say, well, what's the big deal? Just a building. I know. I went there, and I want to tell you, I was really distraught when I was there. People just having food and drinking and so forth. They kept everything out there. They kept all the, you know, kind of churchy things out there. This is Manhattan, in case you want to Google it and go there. But to me, it was just such a disgrace. And here is something that God used in such a way, and they did that. And they've been doing that a lot. They've been turning a lot of chapels and cathedrals into bars and restaurants. In fact, William Carey's church in England is now a mosque, Muslim mosque. There's all kinds of stuff like that going on. Now you say, well, doesn't mean anything. Again, out there, it's not here. But do we honor God? God says things. God clearly states things out to us, the way we should act and behave and how we should treat one another, and we just dishonor God in every which way we can. You know, once upon a time, in our nation anyway, I know there's a cycle that goes on, 2,000 years of Christianity, there's all kinds of things that go on, but there is a sense of respect and honoring the Almighty God. But now there's very little of that. There's very little of that. And so the Apostle Paul writes it. They did not honor him as God. We treat God as maybe a friend. He said, that's great. He's a friend, best friend. Well, sometimes we treat God as someone that just kind of does things for us, the, you know, Santa Claus, maybe. We treat God in so many different ways, but we don't honor God as the creator God. And we wonder why there's a wrath of God going on. We tell God, there's no need for your wrath. We're doing just fine. But are we? Righteousness is such a fleeting commodity in our society. And man refused to honor God. You say, well, it doesn't happen here. We're Baptist church and so forth. Really? Think about some of the things that you do. The choices even coming to church, the choices in ministry, you know, what do you do with your children and all that? Where is God in this list of honoring? Is he first? Or is he somewhere in the third or fourth place? You need to know something. God is going to be honored first, or you're not going to honor him. He is not taking second place. He's never going to take second place. Not to your wife, not to your family, not to your children, not to your career. He is not going to do that. The Almighty God will not accept anything but first place. So honoring God. The third reason why God's wrath is just. It's because man depended on his own rationale. They became futile in their speculation, and their foolish heart is darkened. You know how you darken your heart? It begins with your mind. You begin to see things, think things, and it goes to your heart. It's always like that. Now, just because you have it in your mind doesn't mean it'll go to your heart, but it begins there. And so we begin to think things that will darken our heart. It's amazing. The people in this world who call themselves such geniuses and brilliant people will just believe in things like evolution. I know, all the schools teaching it, so our kids are brainwashed. That's why a lot of families send their kids to homeschool. That's it. It's just a stated reality. So Darwin said it, you know, he's got it, he's brilliant, he's right. I can guarantee you Darwin is regretting every second of it right now. Oh yeah, that has to be. Even though it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And so you look up in the skies, you see the stars, you see that, and you create this idea of the universe forming, and you call it a Big Bang Theory. It doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't even fit into scientific laws or thermodynamics and on and on. It doesn't make any sense, but we're going to just say it anyway. And it's interesting here, the word here, thinking they are wise, they became fool. In the Greek word, you know what that word fool, what word it is? I think fool sometimes, well, it doesn't sound too bad. But in the Greek, that word is moronic. Thinking they're wise, they became morons. So we have a pack of morons in this world telling us how to think, filling our universities, and sometimes filling our pulpits. Thinking they're wise, they went to their own rationale. Ooh, this must be this, this must be this. Oh, therefore it must be this. Instead of going to the Word of God, instead of coming to the Almighty God and say, Lord God, show me what it is about life, what it is about creation, what it is about my family, what it is about morality, we began to design this stuff. We depend on our own rationale. Now, next week, we're going to talk about things that I'm telling you. I come and sometimes think about it. After I preach that, will I have a protest every Sunday outside? Some churches have it. Because we think about things, oh, that just makes sense. Like this phrase, you know, isn't it good that they love somebody? Oh, as long as you love somebody, that's okay. It doesn't matter who that somebody is. To us, it makes sense, right? The rationale, it's better to love somebody than hate anybody. So we depend on our own rationale to decide what's right and wrong, what's moral and what's not moral, what's the thing to do in our country, what's the thing to do in our families, and on and on and on. And then we become morons. That's the Greek. And so we wonder why, God, why are you sending wrath into our lives? Why are you allowing these things to happen? You know, all these bad stuff going on. And guaranteed, the scripture is very clear, there's going to be a lot of bad stuff going on. In the time of Paul, there were a lot of bad stuff going on. He was in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, when it was strong, it was powerful, but it might have been peaceful. But that empire was constantly going through conflicts. There were wars everywhere, and eventually it was sacked by the what they call the barbarians up north and destroyed. The city of Rome was burned many times over. Those things happened to them. The wrath of God is being revealed. Why? Because we want to depend on our own rationale. We want to decide what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. And we are wrong because we, thinking we are wise, are real morons when it comes to this. Because only God has the truth. And finally, God's wrath is just because man created his own worship. We exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. In America, we say, well, we don't do that. Really. It is said that in India, the Hindus have upwards of 300 million gods. I don't even know how that is even possible. I'm not quite sure what that means, 300 million gods. I know with Chinese people, if you're a Buddhist or you're an animist, there are all kinds of gods out there. If you don't believe that, just watch some old Chinese movies. You always got the monkey god. That is just the funniest thing. And all kinds of stuff. You go to other religions or other parts of the world, you'll find gods in different ways. Once upon a time, there would be a tree god, a rock god, and on and on. But now, in the modern society, in the Western world, we say, we don't believe in that kind of stuff. But do we have gods? Have we changed the incorruptible God with something else? You know, even Christianity, or one segment of it, the Catholic segment or the Orthodox segment, they have all kinds of these images, you know, Mary, this saint, that saint, and on and on. And in a lot of these cathedrals, there will be a piece of Paul. There's a finger of Paul somewhere. There's a foot, maybe a piece of bone somewhere, and they keep that as if that is just so, makes them so much more righteous, so much more powerful there.
So they exchanged the incorruptible God, who is spirit, with something that they found and put it there somewhere, buried there, or an image, an icon in the Orthodox churches. You say, well, that's not Protestant. Now, in the Protestant faith, we don't believe in those things, no. But generally, as a culture, have we not replaced God with something else? Well, the easiest thing to always target is the big dollar sign, or a career, or this and that. Whatever you are worshiping is your God. You say, well, I worship God, the real God. Okay, what are you thinking about every day? How often do you crave and say, I can't wait to get into a devotional time and prayer time with God? Or you think, oh, let me look at my portfolio. I got to see what's happening today. Oh, no, the stock market went down 300 points yesterday. That's not good. You get out on lunch break and you just open up your Google, you know, your iPhone. Let me see my portfolio. Well, you know what? You spend that kind of time with that kind of thing, you know who your God is. Don't have to tell you. There are other people that will focus on other things, you know. They could be power, they can be, you know, pleasure, whatever it is. We have another kind of God, but basically we have created our own worship. We exchange God for something that's corruptible, something that's human, something that's fake. Here in the picture, in case you don't know what that is, I did a wedding there. It's the United Nations Chapel. It's across the street from the United Nations on 2nd Avenue, 1st and 2nd Avenue. And so you go in there, and I go in there, well, okay, they're absolutely PC, right? They don't want to miss any religion out there. And so you see all these signs and symbols there, and you know, a couple wanted to get married there, and this is the only time I ever did a wedding there. They let you do whatever, you know, as long as you don't mess up things. I looked at it and I thought, isn't that what we are? We have decided that the awesome, incorruptible God, the God that created this universe, needs our help to tell people how to worship. Hey, you want to worship that guy? It's okay. You want to worship that guy? It's okay. You want to worship that system? That's okay. You want to worship 300 million gods? That's okay. Just don't say you can only worship one. And his name is Jesus. Can't do that. That's us. That's our world. And so you wonder why God's wrath is being revealed. You know, next week we'll talk about what that wrath is. Sometimes we think God's wrath is ultimately when we get to heaven or eternity, and God said, no, you're going to the lake of fire. He said, oh, we don't want that. We'll get ready for that when we get ready for that. God's wrath is being revealed in so many different ways. In the way that he is revealing it in our nation, I want to tell you, I think it's the scariest way. And he does it. So I want to encourage you to read up on the rest of chapter 1 next week. And then I want to tell you too, there's a lot of people that believe that that should not be a part of the Bible. There are people that believe that that is just Paul's opinion. And so, but we're going to go and believe it. We're going to go and read up on it. We're going to go and disseminate it. We're going to go and see what God has told us about his wrath being revealed. Hopefully that can allow us to understand that we are indeed a nation, a community, a city that is in desperate need of salvation. That our friends and families who do not know Jesus Christ, they are in a desperate need of the gospel message. Because until you believe that, until you know that you are in need of something, you don't want to pursue that. If you don't think you need to be saved, you're not going to be interested in the salvation message. If you don't think you need someone to rescue you, well, that rescuer is just kind of looking like a foolish man. But I hope that we as God's people can understand that we live in a country, we live in a society, we live in a community where people are in need of salvation. There is a need for that because sin is ravishing all of us in our community. But the good news is that Jesus has an answer. And in Romans, we find that tremendously wholesome. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you to thank you that you have an answer for our needs. Oh, Father, I pray that you will impact us with your word here, that we can see that your wrath is revealed because of our sinfulness. Oh, Lord God, I pray that you would help us to be able to see and understand your love, but Lord, because of our desperate need because of our sins. Oh God, I pray that you minister in this way to our church. Would you give us opportunities, Lord, to be able to touch the lives of men and women, boys and girls that we are in contact with, to let them know, yes, that you are love and you do love us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay.